Originally, I got into politics because they came and asked my husband to run. And he chuckled and said, "She's the politician, ask her." The immediate response was, "Oh, no, no, there's never been a woman. A woman can't do this job." It was for the county legislator. "A woman can't do this job. Maybe someday there will be a woman, but not now. We don't want a woman." And by the time that conversation ended, I was going to run. And I went forward, and I will always feel that the Town of Peru Republican Committee had a lot of courage and certainly went beyond the "a woman shouldn't and couldn't do it" to endorsing me unanimously, almost unanimously, and encouraging me to go forward, and certainly supported me throughout that campaign. And, you know, the first night I was sworn in January of 1976, I had one of my colleagues say to me, "I suppose you think we're going to congratulate you. You don't belong here. We don't want you here, and we will get rid of you in 2 years." So as I complete my 41-year career, that did not work so well for them. And I've got to say, they came around. It took a while. They came around, and I think over the last few years, I've had the support of those who are still here. So it was an interesting beginning to what turned out to be a very long career. And I certainly did not anticipate having the amazing and very fortunate career I've had.
Well, other than getting your gander up about being a woman, were there other issues that brought you into politics?
Absolutely. I mean, I hadn't thought about it. But then once I, you know, my husband and I were running two small businesses. I had two young children. And I looked at the Economic Times, the business folks who really were the ones who stepped to the plate to encourage me. I thought I could contribute. I thought that the fact there had never been a woman, and forget the fact that, yeah, my dander was up a bit, I thought there should be. I mean, I think that, and I still believe that women bring a different perspective for a lot of reasons. I had worked for Senator Ron Stafford prior to that in his very first term. I had worked the Independence for Rockefeller campaign, so I wasn't a complete novice.
Janet Dupree, you've held county legislative, county treasurer, and state assembly seats. How have the issues changed regionally and statewide in those 41 years?
We built a government center with federal funding. It took no local tax dollars to build that building, and I don't know how many people remember that, but it was all federal share money. I think it was an early lesson for me in that when we get the opportunity to get that infusion of funding at a local level, at a state level, whatever it may be, and it's more likely to be a one-shot or something that is not going to sustain over the years, put it in something that is a one-time investment. And certainly for the taxpayers of this county, that was a great move to do that and put the building up with federal funding. I certainly have watched the Adirondack Park Agency take birth and move on, and the early years were horrible. I think that we have made some very significant inroads there. People have become more receptive of it. There's still issues that I have with them. We still go back and forth on issues, but certainly not the extreme controversy and anxiety there was for a long time. And when I look at the economic development, we've done some good things across the entire district. It's phenomenal. The moving of the county airport. We look over in Franklin County, and we're right on the cusp of the Adirondack Club and Resort taking off. I think the changes have for the most part, been good. I think certainly some of the drug issues we have. I think to look at where we are today and the effect on the middle class and the destruction of families is probably one of the scariest things I've dealt with.
Well, obviously you're retiring from 10 years in the Assembly. As you look back on your career in the Assembly, what do you see as your highs and the biggest accomplishments?
Well, certainly something that I will take with me into retirement that I will be so incredibly proud of was in March the ability to recognize the Corrections Emergency Response Teams, known as CERT, in the Assembly, the 21 teams across the state who came here during the escape of the two inmates in June of 2015, who were boots on the ground, the men who walked through the swamps and through the woods and worked 16, 18, 20 hours a day. what a proud moment for me and the opportunity to be able to thank them and all of our correction officers. And then the following week, I had the opportunity to also recognize with an assembly resolution Major Chuck Guess for his leadership during the escape and our hometown hero, Sergeant Jay Cook, the most reluctant hero we've ever introduced in the assembly.
I find it interesting that when I asked you what your highlights were in the assembly, that rather than focus on legislation that you've done or someplace that you went to, you focused on people that you've highlighted who have done something in the district.
That's the privilege of this position, is to be able to recognize people who do things well. I also will say that the autism insurance bill, which is legislation that has benefited thousands of families. Autism was not seen as an illness, and families, particularly for early intervention, weren't able to get physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy that was paid for. And families, I mean, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, most families couldn't afford it. One of the controversial issues, which I'm delighted I was on the right side of history, was the marriage equality bill, allowing gays and lesbians to marry the people of their choice. You know, I made that decision on the day of my husband and my 30th wedding anniversary and thought, what right do I have to deny someone else to be married to the person that he or she loves and to spend their lives together? And it became very clear to me then it was a civil rights issue. And I changed my vote, my initial vote from a no to a yes, and I was one of the deciding votes to make that happen, and I'm very proud of that. That right has spread to people across this country, and you know, the world hasn't come to an end. People are enjoying their lives together, and they have 1,300 legal rights that were denied under civil union. So very proud of that.
Janet Dupree, when you announced that you would be retiring, you mentioned the main reason was because of problems with glaucoma. Did the ethics problems in Albany play any factor in that? And as you leave, how big is your concern about ethics in Albany?
Glaucoma was one of the reasons, certainly, and because of my concern about my nighttime driving. It is stabilized, and you know, I'm so incredibly healthy for somebody 70 years old. I'm working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, but I think the nighttime driving is not going to get better, and I don't want to take any chances out there for my family or for someone else on the road. So that is certainly a considerable part of the decision. Ethics was not a part of the decision. In fact, I would like to have stayed there for that. You know, we had a bipartisan committee set up to hire an executive director for the first ethics department in the New York State Assembly. The bipartisan committee was of five Democrats and me. A lot of my colleagues are ethical and work hard and do their jobs well, and they're not cheating and they're not stealing. I think we need to certainly address that nobody should stay in leadership for too long. I think that is much more of an enticement, an ability to forget that you're serving the people. I don't think it's the majority of people. I really don't. I've been shocked at a couple of the ones that were indicted. But I would have liked to have stayed to see us really enact solid ethics legislation. And I'm really concerned it's not going to happen this year, which I think is just an absolute disgrace. And I also, when I look at someone to replace me, I really want someone that I know is got really high ethical standards.
Well, Janet, you mentioned whoever replaces you. We do have a Democrat and a Republican in the race right now. Are you going to throw your support towards anyone, or is there anybody specifically that you plan to support?
I will be supporting Sheriff Kevin Mowahill. I know his work ethic. I know his ethical standards. I got to know him when he was a sergeant in the state police. I just have a tremendous respect for him. I believe that he has the same will hold the same standards. Having said that, I have worked with Billy Jones. We continue to work together on issues that affect Franklin County. And we've had the discussion. You know, politics is politics.
And Mulverhill is Republican.
He's Republican, and he's an outstanding candidate as a Republican. I think that, and I'm not saying it's, I think we would be hard-pressed to find anybody who was a better candidate than Kevin, and he really wants it, and he is stuck through that, wanting it for a couple of years. You know, it's been the when you decide to go.
You said last Thursday that you were at peace with your decision. Yeah. You still feel that way?
I do. I have to tell you, I knew it would be an impact here in the North Country when I retired, and I expected some of the comments, and then they've been gracious comments. They really have. And I totally underestimated the response I would get in Albany this week. People on both sides of the aisle telling me how much they've enjoyed my being there, how much they respect me. It's been a really emotional, you know, they brought me pretty close to tears several times, and I got to say, it's heartwarming and emotional.